are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Today's episode of the Locked On Wolves podcast is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. All right, today I'd like to talk about a couple of league updates that could impact the Timberwolves here in the very near future, actually, and then get right into some draft talk, which we'll be doing quite a bit of over the next few weeks and months. We'll actually have some crossover episodes coming up with some of the other teams, the eight teams that are not included in the NBA's restart in Orlando that's going to happen here in the next few weeks. Where we'll discuss our respective teams' potential picks. Of course, we won't know where exactly each of the teams in the lottery will be picking until the lottery itself happens, which it sounds like will be sometime in August. So we'll have, I don't know, really something like 8 to 10 prospects to really focus on, because the Wolves could land anywhere from 1 to 6. And I think we need to cover our bases with all the guys who potentially could go in that top six. So we'll get pretty deep into that here starting today and extending really over the next few months. Before we get into the content for today, a quick reminder to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. So what I wanted to start with was the transaction window that the NBA is working on putting into play for the teams who are not included in the NBA's restart. There will be some sort of, I think they're calling it a transaction window that potentially could open up towards the end of June for all 30 teams. So the 22 participating in the restart, as well as the other eight teams, which of course the Wolves are part of. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, it looks like ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, this would be June 22nd to July 1st. So very shortly here, in like 2 weeks or so, a little less than 2 weeks. And it would allow teams to make some final moves, which typically teams would do at in April. There's an example cited a couple different places online of Miami last year extended Kendrick Nunn and Duncan Robinson, who were both on just essentially very small guaranteed deals. They converted their deals to 3-year deals at 3-year contracts in the middle of April last season, 2019. The Heat were not a playoff team last year, and they were able to convert those contracts and to re-sign those guys at a really what probably would be a below market value. Both of them were key members of Miami's team this year, as they obviously made some big improvements. Of course, they also added Jimmy Butler last offseason. But it would give all of those teams the ability to, at least teams with roster moves or roster spots, the ability to make some moves. Bobby Marks from ESPN tweeted out, there's a few teams, Charlotte, Cleveland, Detroit, Minnesota, and Golden State all have one or two available roster spots and could sign a brand new player or convert a two-way player. The Wolves only have the one roster spot, and their two-way players, of course, were Jordan McLaughlin and Keelan Martin, both who ended up being in the rotation down the stretch of the season, and both played pretty well. McLaughlin especially, we've talked a lot about him on this podcast, as somebody who could potentially come back into the fold next year as a backup point guard. He's not a bad complement to D'Angelo Russell. He's certainly a different player. He's more of a get in the paint, surprise you with a quick first step, and a solid defender. He's a little bit of a better defender. He's a lot smaller than D'Angelo Russell, but Russell's game is much more predicated on three-pointers and mid-range jumpers and floaters and creativity, whereas McLaughlin is a very good pick-and-roll player. He gets into the paint to this point in his brief NBA career, has finished in the paint, finished at the rim well. He's a good free-throw shooter, a solid defender, and again, despite being a lot smaller than Russell, he's been a better defender to this point in their respective careers than D'Angelo. So it'll be interesting to see what the Wolves think of McLaughlin moving forward. If they're able to convert his deal from a two-way into a guaranteed contract for at least next year and potentially beyond. And if that's something, I wouldn't think McLaughlin would turn down that opportunity. I mean, he doesn't have a ton of leverage. He was on a two-way deal this year. I don't know, on a bad team that the Wolves were this year. McLaughlin had, a few really good weeks. It started to feel real because it just kept happening. He started some games as the Wolves were transitioning point guards away from Jeff Teague and Shabazz Napier into D'Angelo Russell. McLaughlin had some extended minutes where he did very well. The question is, does he think he could get something else on the open market? Would he stay with the team that gave him a chance and where he has the opportunity to be a primary backup to Russell? Or does he think he could go to a team that might have more minutes for him? He's not going to see a ton of minutes as a backup to D'Angelo Russell and probably not a whole lot of minutes next to him in a two-point guard lineup, although the Wolves could do that. D'Angelo Russell's played quite a bit off the ball in his career, and McLaughlin has been good enough that at least offensively it could work. Does McLaughlin think he could get a better opportunity elsewhere? I think it's likely if the Wolves approached him with the opportunity to sign for next year and potentially beyond, similar to what the Heat did with Nunn and with Robinson, there's a chance that that could get done. And from my perspective, that's a smart move, a smart use of that last roster spot. Now, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, I might have told you that's crazy because McLaughlin didn't show much early in his time with the Timberwolves, but he played really well in Iowa. And then when he got his chance down the stretch, you know, January, February, March especially, he was very, very good at the NBA level. So I think that's a real possibility that the Wolves could offer that last roster spot to McLaughlin. Keelan Martin's a possibility too. I think it's a lot harder to find the perfect match as a backup point guard than it would be to find a wing who, with the ability to shoot above average from three and play some defense. Martin, unfortunately, did not shoot the ball very well at the NBA level this year for the Wolves. He would be somebody they could probably bring back as a, he probably wouldn't go, you know, go on a two-way contract again, but certainly has the possibility of being an NBA player, more of a bench player than a rotation player, but probably not worth that guaranteed roster spot, especially not over Jordan McLaughlin. So it'd be fascinating to see if that's something that the Wolves are able to do with that roster spot if this transaction window indeed opens at the end of the month. We don't know that for sure. This is reporting by Wojnarowski and some other folks. But if that does happen, look for Jordan McLaughlin to get a really hard look from the Timberwolves as somebody who could fit the roster moving forward. All right, I do want to get into draft talk. I want to talk a little bit about the top of what my living and breathing big board is. I'm not quite finalized on where we're headed with that yet, but I'd like to start with the player who right now is number one on my Timberwolves big board. Before we do that, let's talk about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counter person orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Chain stores often have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. Rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require a membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right. We've talked a little bit about the NBA draft over the past few weeks. I think back when we thought it might still be happening in June, we started covering it. And now I want to get really back into it because especially now that we know the Wolves are not going to be part of the NBA's restart later this summer, it's definitely worth taking some deep dives into a few prospects that could be options for the Wolves, both at the top of the draft, then at the middle of the draft, that currently have the Brooklyn Nets pick that is scheduled to be 16th overall, but of course that could change. We covered that the other day. Could change a little bit based on how Brooklyn finishes out the season and their Eastern Conference standing. It could go to 15. It could go to 17. They actually could lose the pick if the Nets somehow fall out of the playoff picture, which is possible, unlikely, but possible. And then also the Wolves will have what looks like the number three pick in the second round. So there could be some interesting prospects to consider there. I'd be surprised if the Wolves picked three rookies in the top 33 and kept all three of them. I would imagine at least one of those picks gets traded, whether it's for a future pick or as part of a larger deal for a veteran type player to add to the Wolves' current roster. But at any rate, today I want to start with the top of what I am currently formulating as my big board. This is not my final big board because the draft is, of course, now 4 months away or thereabouts. This is where my big board stands today. I reserve the right to tweak it as we get closer. And once we get within a week or so, or hopefully maybe not quite that close to the draft, I will announce what my actual big board is and what I would do if I were the Timberwolves once we know, of course, which pick they have. So this is where I am ranking these prospects as fits for the Timberwolves, not necessarily a generic mock draft of like, here's the best players in the draft, best available type draft that you'd see on ESPN, or even a mock draft based on need for other teams. So I'm not saying that the player we're going to talk about today will be picked number one. I'm saying if I was the Timberwolves and had the number one pick, I would think long and hard about taking this guy and or trading back. That will be a consistent theme here because I don't think any of the guys being rumored to go one and two most often in mock drafts around the internet are actually great fits for the Timberwolves at this stage in the evaluation process, from my perspective. Coming up here shortly, we're going to have some crossover episodes with the Golden State Locked On podcast and also Locked On Cavaliers and a few of the other teams who are going to be in that, I guess, top eight of the draft, bottom eight of the league, if you will. So keep an eye and an ear out for that. So my pick in that draft will be coming up in a episode coming soon, maybe later this week, maybe early next week. But I'm going to start at the top of the draft with, again, the player that I would pick if I were the Wolves drafting one, the player that would be at the top of my board. And if I could calculate a trade back and still get this player, I would, because I understand that it's not the best value based on what other teams would probably do. But at any rate, here is the top of my big board. Right now, my number one player is Killian Hayes, who's a guard currently playing in France. He is at the top of the big board over at the Ringer, Kevin O'Connor's board, and he's also somebody that's been rumored to be a decent fit for the Timberwolves, regardless of where they draft. A lot of mock drafts actually have him later in the top 10. Doing a little bit of digging and considering what we know about the available prospects and what the Wolves need for their roster, Hayes is a good fit. So we'll start with him, his profile as a player. Killian Hayes is a creator. He has the size to play the two, but is probably most naturally a point guard. He's got great court vision. He will be a perfect secondary playmaker in the league. He's a solid shooter. He's been really good off the dribble for a young player who's 19. He hasn't been very good. His catch and shoot numbers haven't been great. He shot like 31% or something overseas from three, which isn't ideal out of your two guard, especially with the number of threes that the Timberwolves attempt. I mean, you're talking Andrew Wiggins percentage and taking essentially Andrew Wiggins' spot in the starting lineup. That's not great. Like Andrew Wiggins, not that I want to draw too many comparisons here, he's got a good jump shot form. His shot looks good. But what's encouraging is he shot the ball well off the dribble this year, and that's something that typically comes along later. The Wolves have some other guys who shoot the ball well off the dribble, and D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley. This could be another guy who could stop and pop and transition. If he improves his catch and shoot, that would be key to be able to fit the Timberwolves roster. He is also left-handed. D'Angelo Russell, of course, is left-handed as well, so the Wolves would have a couple of lefties in the backcourt. He's big, he's strong, he profiles as somebody who could turn into a good defender, and he's been a pretty good help defender, and again, his length and athleticism suggests that he could be a solid help defender. He doesn't have overwhelming athleticism, I want to be clear there. It's not, in fact, he's more, there's really a lot of similarities to D'Angelo Russell in that he's big and he's an okay athlete. He also has some of the same issues on defense as D'Angelo Russell, where he's not always a great one-on-one defender. He has some lapses. He doesn't always fight hard through screens, etc. And so those are the biggest red flags along with the issues catching and shooting. So, well, if you were to say there's two things the Wolves really need, you'd probably say they need more outside shooting, although that's based on the year-long shooting percentage for the Timberwolves. And after the trade deadline, after adding Russell, after adding Malik Beasley, after adding Juancho Hernan Gomez, the outside shooting got a lot better for the Timberwolves. But still, that's a skill that Hayes looks as though he can develop because he's been a pretty good shooter otherwise, good free throw shooter, etc. And you'd also probably say you need more on-ball defenders. So I recognize that those two things are two things that he needs to work on, but he's got the frame, he's got the ability in so many other areas to believe that he can develop those skills. That would be the concern with him. But I think putting him in the backcourt next to D'Angelo Russell, maybe even playing him in a three-guard backcourt with Malik Beasley, who's, of course, a little bit undersized, the the amount of dynamic offense that the Wolves could run would be amazing. It would give them some flexibility on retaining Malik Beasley. They'd have a little bit of leverage on maybe not matching larger offers. They'd have the ability to say, we think we'll pass on this offer sheet. So you could, you know, you'd be giving up on a guy that you traded a lot for. Basically, Malik Beasley was the key to the Robert Covington trade. So the Wolves would then be essentially punting on Malik Beasley unless they think they can get Beasley for a reasonable contract and restricted free agency. Bring Killian Hayes along off the bench. Maybe Josh Okogie is still your third starter in the backcourt. Maybe Jarrett Culver. There's certainly some overlap because now you're looking at Beasley, you're looking at Jarrett Culver, you're looking at Josh Okogie, and now Killian Hayes. They all basically play the same role. Some guys would be better fits, you know, as more of a three than a two. Killian Hayes could play some backup point guard. You maybe don't bring back Jordan McLaughlin. Maybe they think he is their backup point guard for a while and maybe play him some minutes with D'Angelo Russell. But I think in terms of what the Wolves need, what the level of creativity he could add to their offense, the type of game that he plays fast, he plays well in transition. He is creative. He can play behind or alongside D'Angelo Russell. I think that that's really attractive and hard to pass up. It's entirely possible Hayes doesn't go till towards the back half of the top 10. But I don't know that there's much of a miss here. He maybe doesn't have the ceiling of a D'Angelo Russell. He might not turn into an all-star, but there's a lot of those same skills that I think the Wolves would be well served to replicate, at least offensively. And again, he probably will be a better help defender from day one than D'Angelo Russell has been to this point in his career. He's got a little bit more of that awareness on that side of the ball and plays maybe a little bit harder than Russell did on that end of the floor in college. And so I think that there's certainly some hope that Killian Hayes could be either the backup one or the starting two immediately when he steps into the league for a Wolves team that is going to want to try and contend already next year, at least for a playoff spot. And he could kind of plug and play. He's obviously one of the younger guys that's going to go early in the draft. And so there's that to consider as well. But there's a lot to like about the possibility of adding Hayes to the Timberwolves lineup. All right, before we get to another player on the top 10 in my big board, I want to talk a little bit about our great friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It's a protein bar that tastes exactly like a candy bar. Talked a lot about my favorite flavors, the chocolate, almond, coconut, the mint brownie, the chocolate toffee one, all fantastic. There are 16 amazing flavors. I've only named three of my favorites, but there's 16 to choose from. There's 8 chocolate nut flavors, 8 chocolate nut free flavors. The bars are all 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is perfect if you're health conscious, help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat that tastes exactly like a candy bar. All the bars are low calorie, they're low sugar, high protein, high in fiber. The mint brownie that I mentioned, that's, if I was making a big board of Built Bars, that's in my top three, no question. Mint brownie, 15 grams of protein, only 110 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 5 grams net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, let's continue the draft big board discussion with number 2 on my current big board. This was actually a tough one, and I guess I'll tip my hand on what number 3, the player who is number 3 on my big board, we'll talk about the next episode of the show. Between Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball, this was a difficult decision. LaMelo Ball has a lot of similarities to Killian Hayes, who I had number 1 on my board. I think for me, Ball is maybe a little bit more a 1 than he is a 2, whereas Hayes, I think, might fit better as a 2. And so for that reason, I think the redundancy between Ball and D'Angelo Russell is a little too much, at least in terms of, you know, you're not going to draft a guy like Ball. He would be good enough as a lead guard, I think, to be a fit. Like if the Wolves hadn't traded for D'Angelo Russell, I think Ball might get the edge here. The ceiling for a guy like Anthony Edwards is higher still. I think he's still got all-star potential. I suppose you could make the argument LaMelo Ball does as well. The only reason I didn't have Edwards number 1 is because of, I guess I'll just go ahead and blame Andrew Wiggins, fair or not, to Anthony Edwards, but there's a lot of similarities between Anthony Edwards as a pro prospect and Andrew Wiggins. Remember at the time, Andrew Wiggins was seen as a can't-miss number 1 overall prospect. There isn't a can't-miss number 1 overall prospect in this draft. For a long time, it was seen as James Wiseman, maybe Anthony Edwards, but I think there's enough question marks with both of those guys that there isn't that consensus number one, which is why I put Killian Hayes number one, because I think the potential there with the Wolves roster is so great. Anthony Edwards for me is still number two because of his awesome athleticism, his size, his ability to score from everywhere. He's really, really good in transition. And Andrew Wiggins always was too. But Edwards could step in and be the starting two guard if the Wolves were to let Malik Beasley walk, or he could play next to Malik Beasley as the Wolves want to play, essentially three wings, a point guard, and a big. Edwards would fit right in there. I think the combination of his athleticism, his scoring in transition, and the fact that he is a solid passer, which is something that Wiggins was seen as a good passer, but he just didn't need to pass much. I guess Wiggins came from a program that was more stacked at Kansas than Anthony Edwards, who played at Georgia, but Edwards is still a good passer and a willing enough passer. He doesn't have the same court vision as a Killian Hayes or LaMelo Ball, but he's also not going to play the point guard position. And so the ability for him to both pass and score in transition is key. I think the best case, as much as I think the comparisons to current NBA players are unfair, and a lot of times, you know, just kind of, there's a lot of reaching happening in both directions, I still think it's a fun exercise to just kind of get a picture of what this guy could look like, because frankly, I've seen a lot more of, you know, random NBA player than I have of many of these college players, especially, or the guys who have played overseas. You know, I'm basing this off scouting videos and largely highlights, and seen very few full games of some of these guys. But the good comp for Anthony Edwards at this stage, I would say Victor Oladipo for me, is somebody who's a bigger, more dynamic athletic scorer who learned, you know, got better with his outside game as he went on as a pro. Remember, his first couple years, he was not a great professional, but coming out, he was seen as somebody who could turn into an all-star. It took him several years to do that. And then of course had the bad injury just a couple years ago, or I guess leading into last year. But Oladipo turned into you could call him a star. It just took him a little bit. And I think Edwards, that's probably his good comp. Kind of a middle case comp would be more, again, a bigger scorer. Somebody like an Eric Gordon. Gordon was maybe a little bit better of a 3-point shooter earlier in his career than I think you'd expect out of Anthony Edwards. And then a bad case scenario would be a Deion Waiters. And I think Wiggins is somewhere, but I think Wiggins is a better player and a better NBA player and has a better future than Deion Waiters. I don't know that he's much better than Eric Gordon. Wiggins is also somewhere in that middle. And I think there's similarities across the board, and these guys are all bigger. They're higher volume scorers. They're okay passers when they choose to be willing passers, but they don't have elite court vision. All of them are okay shooters. You know, again, Gordon probably being the best of the group, but Anthony Edwards is an okay shooter. He just doesn't look like a pure shooter. It's not supernatural. And if you dig into some of the numbers from college, it was something like under 30% of his possessions in the half court finished at the rim. So if you take out transition buckets, so he was a monster in transition, but in the half court, he's settling for jumpers, whether it's mid-range jumpers, three-pointers, and again, made them at a decent enough clip to make you feel good about his prospects as an NBA player. But he's not a pure shooter. He's not somebody who, again, played at a program that isn't historically awesome in Georgia, in the University of Georgia, I should say. But he, you know, wasn't, his shot selection left something to be desired. Well, he was a willing passer and a good passer at times. He forced a lot of shots. He could have gotten to the rim using his superior athleticism and size in a lot of cases, playing at Georgia, but instead settled for jumpers. And that's a lot of what we saw from Andrew Wiggins at Kansas. It's a lot of what Timberwolves fans saw of Andrew Wiggins with the Timberwolves. And so there's some caution there, but I think plugging him in, I mean, there's also some similarities in some ways. He's a bigger, more, probably a little more athletic Malik Beasley, in terms of his offensive game. Now, Beasley's turned into a really good shooter, and at least what he showed in his 14 games in Minnesota and prior years in Denver, really last year, especially the 18-19 season with the Nuggets, Beasley's probably a better shooter than Anthony Edwards. But in terms of their games coming out of college, there are some similarities there too. And so the Wolves, if they take Anthony Edwards, they could choose to bank the money that they would have spent on Beasley in restricted free agency. They could choose to bring back Juancho Hernan Gomez in restricted free agency and roll out a starting lineup of D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, Josh Okogie, Hernan Gomez, and Karl Anthony Towns next year. And it's certainly better than, you know, it would be a better season than what the Wolves had this year. The ceiling of Anthony Edwards, does he fit as a higher usage, ultra-athletic guy neck between Russell and Towns, or is a guy who's going to be more of a catch and shoot, stop and pop and transition guy like Beasley a better fit than Anthony Edwards? The cost certainty of Anthony Edwards, there's something to be said for that, but Beasley certainly appears as though he's ready for that 18 to 20 point a game, jack up 8 threes a game type of a role that the Wolves want out of the two guard. So I don't know that Edwards is going to be two on the Timberwolves board. I think if he's there at wherever the Wolves draft, whether it's anywhere from 1 to 6, I think they've got to consider the upside of Edwards and how that could slide in next to D'Angelo Russell. Well, there are question marks, and I perhaps am unfairly knocking Anthony Edwards for some of the similarities to Andrew Wiggins' game. I think that there is a lot to be said for him as a prospect, and he very well could go number one in this draft too. I think that's definitely a real possibility at this stage. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Make sure to stay tuned. Again, we'll have crossover episodes coming up soon with our friends at Locked On Cavaliers, Locked On Warriors, and we will be talking more about my personal big board at this stage in early June, which weirdly enough is 4 months plus ahead of this year's draft. But we'll talk more big board as we get into next week. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Wolves. A final special thanks to our friends at rockauto.com for bringing us today's episode. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.